This is the Locked On Bengals podcast on a Wednesday. I'm James Erpine. Great to be with you. Joe Goodberry of The Athletic coming up in 60 seconds on Twitter. At James Erpine, at Locked On Bengals. Subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, the iHeartRadio app, and wherever you get your podcast. We do this every single weekday on the Locked On Bengals podcast. And we got some news. George Iloka, well, he's got a new team. He's in Minnesota. He's linking up with former Bengals defensive coordinator Mike Zimmer in Minnesota, joins a legitimate Super Bowl contender on a one-year deal. And he's going to wear number 28, which I think makes him an instant enemy of Minnesota fans since Adrian Peterson also wore that number. For more on the Bengals deciding to move on from George Iloka, for more on the Bengals preseason and what's happened over the past couple weeks, let's welcome in Joe Goodberry of The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at Joe Goodberry. And if you're not subscribed to The Athletic yet, you can right now for 40% off. That's $2.99 a month. That's less than your Starbucks. I don't like coffee. Never go to Starbucks, but that's less than that. $2.99. You can make that happen. Go to theathletic.com/lockedonbengals to read Joe's work and Jay Glazer's work and Jay Morrison's work, who just joined the Bengals beat, and a bunch of other awesome analysts. And let's welcome Joe in. Joe, I appreciate the time. Who would have thought that you would, like a year ago, you'd be writing for The Athletic, and then right. I would be promoting The Athletic, and we would be doing so on a podcast. How about that?
A year ago, I wouldn't have been able to tell you what The Athletic was.
Well, now you know what it is, and now a lot of people know what it is.
That's true.
But, so make sure you do that. And Joe, let's dive into this. Let's start with Iloka. The Bengals, it was very clear. We had talked about it multiple times, how they were not satisfied with Iloka's performance last year, especially with his turnovers or the lack thereof, forcing turnovers and big plays. When you look at this move, what they did and the idea of promoting Jesse Bates based on what they've seen in practice and in the first two preseason games, do you like it? Do you hate it? Do you love it? How do you feel?
I feel everything. You know, it's hard to feel one thing just from this. You know, the people that just love it or just hate it, I think we have to open up our eyes and really look at it clearly. And you're right, we did talk about it. I think we talked about it after they tried to sign Kurt Coleman, and then they tried to bring in Eric Reed as a free agent. And around that time, I think my first mock draft for The Athletic came out. I had them taking Justin Reed from Stanford, safety in the first round. And we had a lot of conversation, I think, around that time, and I think even off the air about they were unhappy with safety. And it's, I think a lot of people assumed it was Sean Williams. And obviously we know now that it was more George Iloka, and it was because, and I talked about this yesterday on Twitter a little, Bengals have always, like, we love that we can interchange our safeties free and strong. And I think most teams would prefer to have that option and be able to do that. But the Bengals were almost had to rotate those guys because they really didn't have a true free safety in George Iloka. And he is a free safety. A lot of people said, well, he's playing out of position. He's always been the free safety. Even when Reggie Nelson was here, Nelson played more snaps in the box or closer to the line of scrimmage. Sean Williams is the prototypical strong safety for what usually teams look for. So Iloka is the free, and he was okay at it. What they wanted, though, was if you're going to be a free and a strong type team, which if Williams is your strong guy, you want a guy that has more range, more athleticism, more speed, and better ball skills at that free safety position, more of a true free safety. And I think that's what they wanted. And it wasn't just that with Iloka. He was hesitant to come down and run the alley and meet running backs in the hole and really hit them. We all can remember a lot of big hits from George Iloka, but it was normally on a receiver or running a slant or a post or down the sideline. It was never him coming down and really just scooping and taking a running back out of the hole. He was late on a lot of those. A lot of these runs that should have been four-yard runs were 6, 7, 8-yard runs. And when you watch, just type in George Iloka on your NFL Game Pass and just notice where he's making these tackles usually. And it's 8 yards or further down the field. I think they wanted someone that could come down from that cover two look and attack his half of the field and be able to stop a guy earlier. So when you watch after Jesse Bates was drafted, I think we understood even more that what they wanted at that position. So then, you know, preseason goes on now, and you put the microscope on Bates, and you're looking at him as the third guy, and, you know, is he developing? How does he look? And I thought he looked really good for a guy that I thought the weakness of his game was his tackling and his, you know, his power, his size. He really needed to add a little bit of weight to him. He's been a fantastic tackler. He's been coming down aggressively, a lot of combo routes in front of him, and he's not biting on him, and he's taking the correct guy and the guy that's going to catch it and there to stop him in the flats or after minimal gain. He's done it the entire preseason, both games now, and I think he's looked good. And he's rotated early in there. The first guy to come off was George Iloka when it was Bates coming in both games. And then Bates got to play with when Sean Williams came out, and he was next to Iloka. And then he was even in with the backups and Clayton Fedulum. And that's another thing, too. We have said we feel good about their depth at safety, right? We like Clayton Fedulum at the time as the fourth guy. Mm-hmm. We like Brandon Wilson and Josh Shaw as fifth and sixth. I mean, you can keep six safeties if you want to cover anyone with your corners. Someone was going to have to not make the team or get cut, or someone was going to get injured and you know, that would save them the roster spot. Instead, they went proactive with it, and they cut George Iloka, who I think has been a good player for them. I like his personality. I like that even when you want an answer or a thoughtful answer, he seems to give it to the media. Those are the things I like. It really seems like he was able to make the checks on the calls back there. They were rarely beaten deep as a defense, and I think a lot of that comes down to your free safety. And at the same time, we have argued together for a long time that this team needs to play their young guys. You draft these guys to play them. You're limiting their growth. You're limiting how dynamic your team can be because you're not playing these guys. That could be athletic upgrades. And that's what Jesse Bates is. So how can we complain too much about this, right?
Exactly. And that's how I kind of started off yesterday's podcast. Is Marvin Lewis sat there on January 3rd. And when it was announced he had a 2-year extension, and he said they were going to change things. And so far, it seems like they're doing that. They're embracing change. They never, ever, ever, never would have cut a 20-year-old safety with 3 years left on his deal in the past, and yet they just did. They would have picked up Adam Jones's option. They would have kept Brandon LaFell around to be a leader in that room, even if he was past his prime and certainly passed up physically by some of these young wide receivers. And yet all three of those guys are gone. To me, that shows, Joe, that this team, this organization, and it might not work out, but that they are willing to change and have changed, at least to a certain extent, over the past 8 months.
And I wonder what the repercussions or how far they go with this. Because then you look at Michael Johnson, right? Mm-hmm. And you say the defensive ends are playing fantastic, all of them. And all the way down to Sam Hubbard and Jordan Willis, right? The guys are in there in the fourth quarter, and these guys look like they should be playing and playing often with this defense. So then, you know, you kind of get to like, well, look at his age, look at his production, look at his salary. How wasn't he on the chopping block? Maybe before even Brandon LaFell, and definitely before George Iloka. And you look at Ryan Hewitt, and you say, they're not even using him. This offense doesn't even look like it's going to use the fullback often. And the tight ends are really good. And I like Seaton Carter, Bubba Franks, the backup, like H-backs. Those guys look like they can play. So how far do you keep Hewitt and Michael Johnson?
I wouldn't keep either one. I certainly wouldn't. I take that back. Hewitt would already be gone for me. I don't know why he's still here. I have no idea why he's still here. They don't use him. He's not that valuable. Michael Johnson, I would keep around a little bit longer just in case something happens where maybe a Sam Hubbard goes down with an injury, knock on wood, or someone like that. Something happens like that. You keep him around for depth. But yeah, I think he's on the block right now. And both should be on the outside looking in if we're talking about them definitely changing their philosophy. Because I don't think Michael Johnson's one of their top guys, interior or obviously not a top defensive end anymore. And Ryan Hewitt, he shouldn't even be on the field with the other tight ends that they have.
Yeah, I completely agree. If they're going to go with a youth movement and at the same time show confidence in these young guys that they have now at receiver and at safety, I'm keep going. But I also think one other negative is, and potential negative, the Bengals, their contracts and how they structure them, and they don't give a lot of guaranteed money. Now here's George Iloka with a good chunk of his contract remaining, and they release him. What kind of effect does that have down the line? Does that help you or does it hurt you if you're saying, hey, Geno Atkins, we're only going to give you $30 million guaranteed because we really don't give out that much normally. But trust us, you'll see your whole contract. Well, he says, well, George Iloka didn't. You know, so I wonder what kind of effect that has down the line.
Yeah, I do too. And the other player I thought about, if they're doing this with guys who have, years remaining. What if Dre struggles this year?
Right.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they're going to try. I think they're going to try to get an extension done with Dark Quest and Art sooner rather than later. And I wouldn't be surprised if Dre, if he struggles this year, obviously you'll have William Jackson locked up for the next two seasons after this year because of the fifth-year option. You sign a Dark Quest Denard to an extension and you say bye-bye, Dre. Like, I think that's a very real possibility now that the Bengals, as far as moving on from veterans, it's almost like a normal team, which is rare. It's just rare to see. This is refreshing, Joe.
It is, and for that to lead into preseason play, Kavari Russell has played very, very good in both games. Now, I thought when I saw at camp and saw highlights of camp, it was a lot of times it was Russell being beaten.
He was getting destroyed. I'm not going to lie. I like Kavari.
I know
he was getting destroyed.
And then now he's playing great in preseason. And I go, okay, well, what? How do you weigh that as a coaching staff, right, when you're building your team? I don't know how hurt Devontae Harris is. I don't know if there was any news that came out about that. We kind of got sideswiped on a punt in Dallas, and it didn't look good for his knee. But if you're looking at your depth at corner now, who are the 4, 5, and 6 guys? If you keep 6, you may just keep 5. Kavari Russell may be the only other trustworthy guy as a boundary backup. And he was a third-round pick. He's got talent. He can play. And he's only played about 45 snaps in his career so far. Maybe he can continue that play. Maybe he'll get more snaps this year. And maybe you say, he's a tenth of the price of Dre Kirkpatrick, and you can get similar play out of that. Now, I may be getting ahead of myself based on 2 preseason games against backups. But it's at least the first time we've really seen him play at a high level, and at least gives you a glimpse of maybe.
He's Joe Goodberry of The Athletic. Make sure you follow Joe on Twitter at Joe Goodberry. And Joe, give our listeners an idea of what they'll get if they go to theathletic.com/lockedonbengals and they get the 40% off that they're being offered right now. If they get a subscription to The Athletic, what do they get with your work, with any type of NFL coverage? Because it's all sports, but what kind of NFL coverage are they getting?
Yeah, first, you get everything. It's not like you just subscribe to The Athletic Cincinnati. You get every city. You get every sport. There's no limitations to your subscription, your access to The Athletic after that. With us specifically, I mean, they just brought on Jay Morrison to do the beat, the day-to-day stuff that'll keep you updated. If you've already been a subscriber, you know that so far it's been, you know, spotty at times because we didn't have a beat guy yet. We have that. He's going to do your normal news, your normal information. I'm more of the analyst side, and I'm going to do film breakdowns and player evaluations, and we're going to question everything the Bengals do and don't do, and we're going to use videos and pictures and all the fun stuff that'll make it worth your $3 a month. And with that, they just opened a new fantasy branch with a lot of good fantasy guys. They brought in Jake Glazer for breaking news. The more and more they bring in, you're going to want to be a part of this because a lot of information and a lot of analysis is going to be done on The Athletic, and only if you're a subscriber will you be able to see it.
Again, to subscribe, go to theathletic.com/lockedonbengals for 40% off. This offer isn't going to last forever, so go there now, theathletic.com/lockedonbengals. All right, Joe, let's talk about some other stuff besides safety, besides the safety position, besides George Iloka. Overall, give me a few concerns. Let's start with the negative. Why not? A few concerns, worries that you have after 2 preseason games after watching this team.
Well, I think main focus is the offensive line still. There are issues still. I mean, you always hope for the best. Even last year going in, you say, well, maybe Jake Fisher turns into a good player. Maybe Cedric Oboye turns into a good player. You know, maybe Trey Hopkins is as good as we thought he could be, and none of those things happened. So you go into this year, and you say, well, at least we got upgrades at center and left tackle, right? And while I do think center has been an upgrade, especially in pass protection, Billy Price has been almost flawless. As a run blocker, you're getting the same level as what you got with Russell Bodine so far, because Bodine that was his strength of his game, run blocking, even though it was not very good. But the line as a whole, really, run blocking is still having issues. This may be a longer process than we thought. Just because they've changed scheme, they changed style, they've moved guys around and added upgrades, it really hasn't translated just yet. You need that cohesion. You need these guys, all 5 guys. You're working as one unit. And if they can get to that point, I think it'll get better. But currently, right guard and right tackle are still the big issues. And like I said, center is still, but we expect Billy Price to get better as we go. Right tackle right now. Bobby Hart and Cedric Oboye on the right side are not holding up in pass protection. First team, second team, it is not working. It seems like Jake Fisher is only left tackle at this point. It seems like Christian Westerman is only left guard at this point. As you get closer to this third week of preseason, this is when you're setting your lineup. You're preparing for week one at this week, right now, as the Bengals practice, they're preparing for week one. This is what the roster is going to look like. This is what the lineup's going to look like. If they come out on Sunday night against Buffalo and it's Trey Hopkins at right guard and it's Bobby Hart at right tackle, that's who I expect to start in week one. And because you have to, at some point, start getting these guys together and playing reps together without rotating those positions in an effort to be as unified as you can when the real games start. So, having said that, that's scary. And Alex Redmond has looked really good run blocking at right guard, but his pass protection, his lack of agility, his false starts and mental errors are going to kill him in terms of starting. I think Hopkins is more steady at that spot, and I really wish Fisher got a chance at right tackle. I really wish Westerman got a chance at right guard, and it's easy for us to say. But what if behind the scenes, Frank Pollock, the offensive line coach, says these guys just aren't making the transition? Their play is that much worse on the right side. Mentally, they can't handle the switch to the other side. Technique-wise, they can't handle the switch to the other side, and that's why we're not seeing them. If that's the case, it may be. But then I think we have to start looking at alternative options to get the best five guys out there. And someone said, well, then let Westerman play left guard and move Clint Bowling, because Bowling has played other positions. I'm not against that either. I just think right now, if there's a lot of holes, but that one is still the one that is going to limit this offense the most.
Yeah. What about the idea, and I've thought about this, and I think they would do it if something happened to left tackle that they traded for, Cordy Glenn. They would move Clint Bowling. What about the idea of moving Clint Bowling to the right side? He played left tackle last year a little bit. And I'm not saying he's perfect there, but I think between Westerman and Hopkins, they could man the guard spots. If you put Bowling at right tackle, I think that would get your best lineman potentially on the field. Am I crazy there? Is there any chance that would happen outside of an emergency?
I don't think you're crazy. I think we should have seen it already if that was the case. The thing is, Bowling wasn't good at tackle. He was serviceable. You can use him as needed. But he allowed 20 pressures last year, all year in pass protection. 12 of them at guard in 14 games. 8 of them at tackle in 2 games. So that's not something you want for an extended period. I mean, he would lead the team in pressures if that pace continued for an entire season. You would expect he'd get better and more comfortable at it as it went on. But we're not saying you have a good tackle you could just plug in. What we're saying is it's got to be better than what they showed, right? Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, then I would be considering it. And I just think that you should start that now. It would have to be a disaster, I think, after 4 weeks, and they go, okay, now we got to make a move. That seems more of how the Bengals would do it. We've seen it in week 15 and 16 rather than week 4 and 5. But I do think that's the scenario rather than seeing them do it now and going into week 3 of preseason.
Joe Goodberry of The Athletic with us. As far as Bill Lazor's play calling, I know we only get a snippet of it. What have you seen? What did you like? What did you not like? I'll give you one play, one example of something I liked. I love the idea, 3rd and 5 the other night. I think it was the Bengals' first drive. A.J. Green lines up in the slot.
Yep.
And it was a pick play with Tyler Boyd. A.J.'s wide open. Andy yep. has a pocket. He's got to make this throw. But I love the play call. I think Andy will make that throw more times than not. I want to see more of that, but I really like that. That's a play that stuck out in my mind that there's no way in hell we would have seen a year ago.
3 plays with Green in the slot, and he was targeted all 3 times. I want to say all of them were 3rd downs. Week 1 versus the Bears, it was that drag, and he ended up taking it upfield 30 yards or so. He was in the slot to the right. And then twice against Dallas, both deep balls, both misses by Andy Dalton. I think the second one was a little harder, but at the same time, 2 plays I want to see on your best receiver's body so that he can make a play on it. Other than that, I think it's been, you know, because it's been limited by the offensive line, I think at times been limited by the quarterback, because as good as Dalton was week 1, I thought he was flawless. They ran the offense perfectly besides John Ross falling down on one play. Second week, definitely he missed his throws, obviously the big ones, but I think there was other ones too where he was just a tad late, or the pressure got to him a little quicker than he thought. Besides that, I think the run game still needs work, obviously, but some of that is limited by personnel. I think the one thing I did really like was Joe Mixon in week one getting split out wide and getting him the ball and allowing him to make a play and score. And then Tyler Boyd, his touchdown also from week one, he was split out wide, and really it's just a pick play again, but it's a typical play in the red zone where you can get Ross pretty much running it to the corner, the outside guy's running a slant, and it's the play Malcolm Butler intercepted against the Seahawks Patriots, basically. And Boyd beat Chicago's best corner in Fuller inside and scored there. So he's scheming his guys open. I like that. That's something the Bengals haven't had. And if they can at least do that all year, they'll be better off.
A few quick thoughts on the defense that you saw, Joe, because to me, the defensive line is their best position group. It's been standing out. They've continued to dominate. And I wouldn't be surprised. I said this yesterday on ESPN 1530. Over under the club record at 51 sacks, if their big guys stay healthy, the Carl Lawsons of the world, the Geno Atkinses of the world, and the Carlos Dunlaps, of course, they're going to break that record. I believe that. Now, what are your thoughts on the defensive line and then the other parts of the defense as well?
I think the defensive line is the story of the defense because I think it's the best unit on the team. And you just said Lawson. I think Lawson's in for a big year. Carlos Dunlap's looking good. Willis Hubbard has been way above and beyond what I expect from a rookie. 2 years in a row, if they get top-end play from a rookie DN, would be fantastic, wouldn't it? But then inside, I think not only Atkins is who he is, but Billings had a fantastic game versus the Cowboys. And then Ryan Glasgow had six pressures also. So, you know, Chris Baker is definitely the fourth best guy out of the interior on that defensive line. I think defensive line is going to carry the defense completely and give them a chance to be really, really good.
Does Chris Baker make this team?
If Andrew Brown was healthy, I'd say it's more of a debate. But Brown isn't and hasn't been able to play or practice. I think he does for now.
Yeah, it's one of those where I see it, and it could be borderline, but I agree with you. It'd be interesting to see how Andrew Brown does. One other guy, you mentioned Kavari Russell kind of struggling in coverage in practice. Darius Phillips has struggled a ton in practice and did during training camp, but obviously he was lightning in a bottle when he had the ball in his hands at Western Michigan, and he showed that the other night against Dallas. What are your thoughts on Phillips? What does he look like? How has he looked in coverage?
Coverage mostly inside, and I don't like that. I think he should be on the boundary. I think most of the struggles are because they're putting him inside in the slot, the backup there. But you're right, as a kick returner right now and punt returner, I think he makes the team just off that. And if he's not playing this year on defense, that's fine, because if you need to get him in there, that means some injuries happen at the secondary spot.
Joe Goodberry of The Athletic is with us. Make sure you check out his latest work at theathletic.com. And again, if you want to subscribe, go to theathletic.com/lockedonbengals for 40% off. Joe, I appreciate the time as always. I will, I'm sure I'll talk to you soon. I'll catch up with you next week. We can do our first real film review where we break down what happens in preseason game number 3, because it's the dress rehearsal. This one matters.
I can't wait.
Joe sounded really enthusiastic there. I can't wait. I'm James Erpine. This is the Locked On Bengals podcast. I wrote about the Bengals offense at LockedOnBengals.com last week. I'm going to write some more about this team in the upcoming days and throughout the season. I will be writing more and more and more. So just a heads up that is going to happen at LockedOnBengals.com. As always, you can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, the iHeartRadio app, and wherever you get your podcast. Back at it tomorrow. Until then, I'm James Erpine. Have a great night. Thanks for listening right here on the Locked On Bengals podcast.